D3. Number 2B.
Now, all this naturally is the answer to the question of matter. Because, as you know, today, that as well as the spiritual thinkers of all the ages, as well as today the natural scientists see that matter does not exist per se. It's not something as such. That matter is only a subjective state of consciousness. A subjective state of consciousness. How natural science defines that, perhaps that well-known booklet of Barnett on Dr. Einstein and the universe, where he summarizes the whole problem of what matter is by saying that philosophers and scientists today have come to the realization, to the astounding realization, that because matter consists only of qualities, and because qualities are only attributed by the human mind, and therefore exist only in the human mind and not in matter as such, that the whole, as he says, the whole universe of matter and energy, from the atom to the stars, are but the construction of human consciousness, an edifice of conventional symbols shaped by the senses of men. See, so what metaphysics has always seen, as Mrs. Eddy 100 years ago, that she said, matter is only the subjective state of mortal mind. Today the physical scientists say the very same thing in their language, that matter as such does not exist. It is only a way of looking at it. And that way of looking at it is with a consciousness that is finite. Matter means finite, because matter is limitation. Therefore, what we are studying with the infinite and its infinite idea is the answer to the whole question of matter. All those thousands and thousands of questions, what is matter and how it is and so on, and how it influences our life, and so the whole gamut of all those questions of matter is answered by seeing that being is infinite, is an infinite principle with an infinite ideas. In that infinitude there is no limitation, no finitation, no atomization. The infinite is infinite and is that. So, we don't need to quarrel too much about the question of matter and see what lies behind matter, material object, and to what ideas material object point to, and so on, and so on, and so on. Reasoning from matter to idea is not science. It's not science. Science means to reason from cause to effect. In the science of mind, we start with mind. So, can you see what an enormous field of human question and problem are covered when we are starting to acquaint ourselves scientifically and spiritually with the nature of being as mind and spirit and soul, as principle and as life and truth and love? We are answering all the question of man, all the question of matter, all the question of the mortal consciousness, all that is answered in one sweep. Because we stick to that wonderful sense that there is only one being. Now, I come to a next big question. And with this question, I want to start explaining this little chart which you have in front of you. And with this little chart, we try to symbolize the nature and operation of the one being. So that whole chart taken together is showing the one infinite being. On that chart, we have different classifications. I want to explain quickly, as much as I can do it quickly, those classifications. You have two classifications. The one you see on the left-hand side, vertical, called science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Can you see that? That's one coordinate of the chart. And the other coordinate of the chart is what you see there as Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, horizontally. The other coordinate, those two coordinates are those classifications which are the most important one to depict being. I take first Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Now, I cannot teach everything in those few hours of this weekend. But what I can do in this weekend, the only thing I can do, is to give a bird's eye view of what constitutes the science of being. Now, we take those four Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The student of Christian science knows them from the Christian science textbook. There Mrs. Eddy explains those four as the interpretation of that biblical symbol called the New Jerusalem. It's the acme of Bible revelation, where John the Revelator saw the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as a city that lies four square. And Mrs. Eddy interprets those four sides of the holy city as first the Word, second the Christ, third Christianity, and fourth science. These are her interpretation of that highest symbol of Jesus' teaching, because Jesus was showing John the Revelator what he saw, and what he saw as being the science which he was living. Now, what do these four terms mean? And I only want to take them very quickly, because the main subject of this weekend will be the synonymous terms, but in order to get hold of those synonymous terms, one must have some grasp of these categories. Now, you see, what they mean, those four, is really the modus operandi of the seven synonymous terms. As long as we will just state that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, we would perhaps just have a static sense of the one being. We would perhaps just have a sense that being is constituted of these seven nature, main nature of being. It is just that which, where perhaps in arithmetic we would have been taught that the numbers are the 10 digits, and have learned the 10 digits. But with the 10 digits, just counting up from 1 to 10, we wouldn't have arithmetic. We would only have the 10 digits. We would have found something very important, but nothing dynamic, nothing operative. Just the statement, here are the numbers. Then arithmetic sets in and takes those 10 digits and shows the way they operate. And so give addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. And with these 10 and these 4, we can already compute practically infinite computations within the realm of arithmetic. So these four in arithmetic give us the modus of operandi, the method of operation of those 10 digits. And the very same thing Mrs. Eddy saw in being, that she could see. First, I have to state what is the fundamental nature of being through the seven synonymous terms, and then show how they operate in being. And the way they operate is as the Word, second as the Christ, second as Christianity, and third as science. Tomorrow I will come back to this more to look at it closer. For the moment it is quite enough to see that these are four modes of operation, and that it are four modes that have evolved into the Bible and the Christian Science textbook in an ordered way. Everything that is fundamental and spiritual somehow has been evolved over the ages. The Word is therefore that which we can say the self-presentation of being, or the self declaration of being. The Word means, in the it's a biblical sense. Today we could have very up-to-date terms. The biblical sense is that God spake, and therefore spoke and said what He is, and says, I make light, and I make the firmament, and I make the dry earth, and so declaring Himself what He is. That's the definition of being. God defining Himself to consciousness. Something like that we could call the Word. Therefore, it is first stating what is the sevenfold nature of being, declaring it, presenting it, defining itself. Now, this is mostly what we are feeling when we read the Bible, because as long as we read the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, and so on, it is mostly in that tune that God said, I am doing this, I am this, I am that, I am the God, I am, this is my nature, and so on. It's the declaration of God what He is. But then, when you come to the prophets, somehow the whole tenor of the Bible changes completely. Because with the prophets, the Christ is introduced. The Christ, the second way of operation, is showing how God translates Himself to every situation. How God, as a forcible power, just comes to every single situation and manifests itself in every single situation. So when one reads those prophets, one has to first to accustom oneself to the different tone in it. And it's all about what God is going to do to any situation. What is going to do to Israel, what's going to do to Jacob, what's going to do to the temple, what's going to do to Jerusalem, what's going to do to the priests, what's going to do to the kings, what is going to do to any situation. Therefore, showing how the infinite principle is translating itself to the point of individual manifestation. So, the Christ does not show the definition of being, it shows the translation of being to the point of each situation. And that is the Christ, you know, the Christ that comes to the flesh, to destroy incarnate there, the Christ, the divine message from God to men. You know, that's how Mrs. Eddy describes the Christ, you see. And that's showing then how those synonymous terms operate when they have to translate the divine ideal to the point of idea. Quite a different method, quite a different purpose. Then When one reads further in the Bible, one comes to the New Testament. When one comes to the New Testament, one feels oneself to be in a completely different literature, in a different world concept. Everything is so much different than in those prophets. And one begins to get the touch of Christianity. Of Christianity. That is, how the Christ is being used in every situation. So I say by purpose Christianity, in order not to have that sense of Christianity with all wars and hatreds and churches and organizations and I don't know what, missionaries and so on. But the true sense of Christianity is really Christianity, Christ using, Christ applying, Christ expressing, Christ living. So we have Jesus showing that he is not waiting for the Christ, for the unity of God and man as promised by the prophets, but that he accepted that point of the Christ, he was the Christ, and said, all right, I'm going to work from that standpoint. I'm going to work from that standpoint that God has translated itself to the point of idea, and I can use that consciousness in every situation. And so Mrs. Eddy calls Christianity the outcome of the Christ idea. It's therefore that which flows out from the Christ, therefore the demonstration of the idea, the reflection of the idea, the application of the idea, the living idea, all what we can call this living Christianity. Then, slowly and slowly, towards the end of the Bible, indicating something new that is to come, Jesus said, I will send you a new comforter, the Spirit of Truth. John the Revelator was perhaps the only one that really understood Jesus, and therefore he was talking about Jesus in a completely different way. Namely, he was talking about, not about Jesus when he was talking about Jesus, but then he was talking about God. Whenever he was talking about Jesus, he was talking about being. Because he was the one who saw, I and my Father are one. The Father that is in me, he doeth the work. He could see Jesus' life as God being, not as Jesus living. He could see Jesus' life as God being. And so had some sense already of science, of principle and idea one. And so the textbook came along and showed the science of the world, and showed the science of the Christ, and showed the science of Christianity. Interpreted scientifically the world, the Christ, and Christianity. So that science today, as given in the textbook, gives us that scientific understanding which can get hold of being, which is no more separate from being. It's no more like the world where God said, I am, and said it to the people. It's no more like the Christ where God said, I am God, and I come down, and I overturn and overturn and overturn until it comes whose right it is. It's no more Christianity where I have to apply this Christ idea and apply it and live Christian science. Here it is science where we begin to see from the infinite one comes one principle and its infinite idea. And with these ideas they have law and order and rule, they have science, and with it comes their demonstration. No more our demonstration. And therefore giving the science of Christianity. Quite a great step forward, which we have to recognize, or we will always fall back to Jesus' time and take Jesus' time and the gospel as the pinnacle of revelation, which it isn't. If the Bible would be the pinnacle of revelation, then there would have been no use for Christian science, nor for the textbook. And Mrs. Eddy came and showed that something additional had to be seen And that's the science of it, the science of the Bible, and in addition to it, the science of being. So with this you can see that the Christian Science textbook has as its main concern that fourth side of the Holy City, science, the unity of principle and idea. But naturally, that fourth side demands a new consciousness. You see, at the beginning of the Bible, there were God just said, I am this and this and this. All was demanded from the people was to listen to thee and to obey, to be obedient. Of the prophets came and declared the Christ nature of being. You can read all those many hundreds of pages of the prophets and search and with one question say, what do the prophets demand from Israel? And the only thing they always demanded for Israel was return to God. It's the only thing they demanded. Said, come, return to God, and take the standpoint of principle. And so, in Christianity, naturally the demand is all that what Jesus then explained in the Beatitudes and in the Sermon on the Mount, that atmosphere of spiritual sense and of spiritual longing and so on, to spiritualized thought and spiritualized thought and spiritualized thought. And then science comes. Says, science doesn't ask that. Science stands on the standpoint that principle and idea is one, and that therefore consciousness is one with the synonymous terms. And that's that. And that's as simple as that. To have that mind, which is God. To have that spirit, which is God. To have that soul, which is God. There's that principle, that life, that truth, that love, which is God. Because man is that which has no separate mind from God. Therefore it's that which the sixth and seventh day of creation demands, to go out from the infinite and never leave the infinite. There is no more, when we come to the science of the textbook. And the textbook does not only contain the science, it also contains the Christianity and the metaphysics, but the main concern was the science. At that point, there is no more seeking and finding and using and applying and living this science, because that would mean that you are outside of the one. Science says principle and idea is one, therefore you don't have to be obedient to it, you don't have to return to God, you don't have to seek God. There you accept the very fact that there is no other mind but God. Mind. And so at that point we go out from mind and not working up to mind. You see, perhaps just to conclude it, just to see a little point. See, at the beginning, I think it happens perhaps with everyone, it's perhaps a natural development for everyone, a general development, but at the beginning one begins to realize that we don't have to do with the material universe, but only with our consciousness. And so most is centered on thought. What is right thinking? How should I think rightly? How should I think divinely? What are right thoughts? What are good thoughts? What are divine thoughts? What are spiritual thoughts? And it's first all on thinking. Very soon one begins to realize that one says, but how do I know if I think right? Where is a standard which tells me that I think right and divinely? And so thought is pushed from thinking to the plane of ideas and says only when thought is aligned with ideas, then I think rightly. And so one begins to get away from the thinking way to align our thoughts with ideas, therefore study the ideas, and we have seen that we only can know what ideas are by studying the seven synonymous terms, and only they reveal the ideas of mind and the ideas characterizing spirit, the ideas characterizing soul, and so on. And so slowly one begins to lose the sense that I have to think right. And when there's a sense, all that matters are ideas. And ideas are independent of praying and of thinking because they come from God. They are not coming from our thinking. And so one makes a step forward into the realm of ideas. That's the realm of metaphysics. Because metaphysics is that which is above matter, that which rises above matter, that which is thinking about the ideas behind matter. But that's metaphysics, that's not yet science. Only then, when one has been thinking in terms of ideas, one begins to realize that ideas are being known only by mind, by the synonymous terms themselves. The synonymous terms themselves only know mind and operate as ideas. And so one makes that great step forward into science, where one even drops thinking in terms of ideas and lifts one's consciousness to the standpoint of science itself, where one sees that only mind knows ideas, that only spirit develop ideas, that only soul identify ideas, that only principle governs ideas, that only life lives ideas, I can't live ideas, that only truth demonstrate ideas, I can't demonstrate ideas, that only love fulfill ideas, I cannot achieve anything through my thinking. Then consciousness has touched the infinite one, the synonymous terms. Then from that moment on, I'm no more so much concerned with my thinking, nor with ideas, I'm concerned with the seven synonymous terms. Mind knowing itself, spirit unfolding itself, soul defining itself, principle governing itself, life living itself, truth demonstrating itself, love fulfilling itself. And all what I can contribute still from the human standpoint is to accept it, and accept it, and accept it, and let it happen, and let it be, and not interfere with it, neither with my thoughts, nor with my wishes, nor with my intentions, nor with my motives, to let it be. Then I have touched the level of science itself, where science operates unspent, but operates by itself. Then I have gone through world, Christ, Christianity, and touched science. Those four.